All right. Well, it is Chinese New Year, and or it's Chinese New Year past, but we're in the season of being in Chinese New Year, and today is the third day of this new Chinese New Year. And even though we go through these seasons of celebrating different holidays and things like that, but the preaching of God's word and the gathering of God's people doesn't change. And so we want to continue in our series today talking about how we're getting to the end part of Matthew, where we are reading about Jesus' road to the cross. And the title of the series is Hail to the King. And the question that I want us to continue to ask is, how is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I just want to mention that we have kids and all of our youth. We have our children that are here with us in the service. And so some of them may be making noises and things like that. But I just want to remind us here that we are a church. We are a family. We are a gathering of both adults and children. And we want to continue to love them and show grace to them as they are here with us. And so may they also encourage us to be all the more attentive to God's word. And so with that said, why don't we turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, and this is the reading of God's word from verse 1 all the way to verse 10. Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 to 10. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Amen. Every new year, every calendar New Year, and every Chinese New Year, people are looking to have a fresh start. And I want to talk about this idea of a fresh start, a new start. A lot of Christians these days, I don't know for how many years now, but I've been hearing this word come up over and over, and I just think it's an interesting word. A lot of Christians these days, and maybe non-Christians also, use this word breakthrough. People are wanting to have a breakthrough in their Christian life. And maybe this seeking a breakthrough means that there's a chance for a better life, or that things will become better from now on. Maybe people are looking for some type of blessing from the Lord. Maybe people are looking for some type of gift from the Lord, or some type of new realization to make life a little bit better, or to make life a little bit calmer, or maybe to make your life a little bit more right. And so people use this idea of breakthrough, and they're looking for a breakthrough. They're praying for a breakthrough, and they're praying for this new thing to happen in their life so that they may feel like maybe things are getting better, or you're realizing things in a new light. And we use this terminology, but as we're in this Chinese New Year and we're talking about blessing, we're talking about wanting something from the Lord. We're talking about maybe something good or something better to happen in this new year. As we talk about these things, today we want to talk about the idea of a true blessing, a true breakthrough. And that is, I'm going to give you their answer right up front. The true blessing and the true breakthrough is Jesus Christ and how he has delivered us from sin and death, and that we can live a new life in him. And so the main idea today is live in light of his deliverance. Live in light of Jesus' deliverance of us. And the three ideas for today are, and you have to look at the screen for this, because if you just hear what I say, it may not make sense, okay? The three points are delivered, okay? And I tried to be a little bit creative with the punctuation. So there's one question mark, two periods, and three exclamation points, right? So delivered, and there's something to come. Delivered, all right? The main idea, again, is live in light of his deliverance. Now, the first point is delivered. Why are we asking this question? Well, we're asking this question because when we come to this story of Judas, starting in verse 3, it says, then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Judas was condemned, that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See to it yourself. And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and he went and he hanged himself. Now, when we talk about Judas, some people might ask this question. Was Judas really a Christian? Was he delivered? And especially because people come to this point where it talks about how he hanged himself, how he committed suicide. And sometimes we ask this question, when a person commits suicide, will they be delivered? Will they be able to go to heaven? Now, I just want to make clear that the point of today's sermon is not about suicide. And so if you are thinking about suicide, if you're thinking about this and you're struggling with this idea, please come and talk to me, or please come and talk to one of our elders. This is a really, really important time to come and seek help. And so I just want to say that off the bat. Now, what I do want to say is that the Bible reminds us and tells us that we are not saved or not saved by our works, by what we do. And so I just want to say, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about this, but I do want to say that if a person does commit suicide, then according to the Bible, according to what I believe the Bible says, that a person is able to be saved even if they commit suicide. Right? So I just want to make that clear. But there's a lot of explanation that needs to be said about this. What I want to talk about, though, is that, you know, why was Judas not saved? Was it because he committed suicide? No, that's not the reason. There's something else that's going on here of why Judas is not delivered. So was he delivered? The answer is no. I just want to read a couple of verses for you guys. Matthew chapter 26, verse 23 to 25. This is where Jesus is talking about how Judas will betray him. And this is what he says about Judas. He says, and he answered, he who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Judas, who would betray him, answered, is it I, Rabbi? He said to him, you have said so. Judas, Jesus tells Judas that you're going to be the one that betrays me. But he says about Judas, it would have been better if he had not lived. If that person had not been born, the person that betrays Jesus. And so Jesus is already making a statement about Judas that he is not going to be saved. He is not a person that belongs to God, not a child of God. Now, let me read another verse for you guys. John chapter 17, verse 12 says this. This is Jesus' prayer, and he's praying for his disciples. And this is what he says. He says, while I was with them, I kept them in your name. So Jesus is saying, I have protected my disciples. I have kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And so Judas clearly is not saved because of how Jesus spoke to Judas, but also because how he prayed to the Father, saying that all of his disciples that belong to him are saved except the son of destruction, the one that never really belonged to Jesus. He wasn't a son of God. He was a son of destruction. And so he is not saved. Now, the interesting thing was that it seems like Judas realized his sin. It seems like Judas was trying to make things right. It seems like Judas was repenting. It seems like it, right? It says that in verse 3, it says, when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And of course, they responded to him, the chief priests and the elders. They said, what is that to us? Do whatever you feel like is good. Take care of your situation yourself. You feel guilt? Take care of it yourself. It has nothing to do with us. So it seems like Judas repented, but what was really going on? What is it that we really see going on in Judas? If we could see the next slide. What we see is an unrepentant pattern. And I want us to ask, even in our own lives, do you see this going on in your life? Okay? Now, with Judas, there was this situation where he followed through all the way to the end with this unrepentant pattern that resulted in his death and him going to hell. For us, it could be different, where we don't have to follow this pattern of unrepentance, but we can follow a pattern of repentance. What did we see in Judas? He tried to give the money back because he felt, oh, I think I did something wrong. I think I did something wrong. He tried to give the money back. But when they didn't accept it, he went the next step and he felt, oh, I need to somehow make this right. I need to make this right. And so he throws the money into the temple. You know, they're not going to take it, so he ends up throwing it. It's kind of like maybe what some of you guys experienced this past Chinese New Year, where you try to pay for the meal, and, you know, the parents or the other relatives are like, no, 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 no. And you're like, no, just have the money, right? Judas was trying to make things right, and so they don't accept the money, so he just throws the money into the temple, and in his mind, perhaps there was still a struggle that was going on where he was like, I need to make things right. I still feel guilty. I don't know how to make things right. And so the only way that he could make things right in his own mind was by going and hanging himself. The idea here is that perhaps Judas's mindset was, I did something wrong, so I need to make it right. I did something wrong, so I need to make it right. Another way that we might say it, on the next slide, is I must suffer for what I did wrong. I deserve it. And maybe for some of us here, we have this kind of mindset where we say, maybe God is punishing me because he wants me to make things right. And that's why things aren't going well in my life. Or maybe some of us, we feel so guilty about something that we did in the past where we have this mindset of, I am going through this suffering because of what I did, and I deserve it. I deserve to go through this. And so you go through life thinking that, you know, I'm just such a terrible person and I'm just, I'm living this life because things just aren't, because I haven't been able to live a good life. So God is punishing me, or I must punish myself. But this mindset is a mindset that relies on yourself to try to make things right. But what the Bible tells us over and over again is that we cannot make things right on our own. We will fail over and over again. And actually, this mindset of trying to make things right is this mindset of, I'm going to save myself. I'm going to make things better for myself. I'm going to prove to God or prove to myself that I can make things right. And this idea of a breakthrough, when we think about it, is like, I need to try to study hard. I need to make sure that I pray enough. I need to make sure that I make things right in my life so that I can discover, I can have some kind of breakthrough. I can do something to bring about blessings on my life. And that mindset is a mindset that depends on me rather than on Jesus Christ. And we find this verse in Matthew chapter 16. It says this: Then Jesus told his disciples, If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This idea is basically saying, give up the idea that you are able to somehow save yourself. Give up the idea that you are somehow going to make things better or right in this life just based on what you do. Rather, give everything up and turn to Jesus and see how Jesus has done everything for you. And this is where we come to our second point: delivered. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 27, verse 2, this is what it says: And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. Jesus was delivered to death. If we could see the next slide. He was delivered to death that we may be delivered to life, that we may be saved to life. I want to ask this question as we're in the second point. How can we experience deliverance? How can we experience having a breakthrough? How can we experience having a better life? The answer is, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've already experienced a breakthrough. But if you're not feeling it right now, then the thing that we need to do over and over, all throughout our lives, is to confess our sin, just like Judas did. But unlike Judas, don't just stay at just confessing your sin. You need to turn away from your own way of trying to save yourself and turn to Jesus and see that Jesus is the one that is able to save you. Don't just confess that you did something wrong. We need to do that. That's important. And that's an extremely important first step that we need to take. It's difficult to do that, but that is a necessary step. But don't just stop there. Turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, you have saved me. You will save me. Turn to Jesus and put your hope in Jesus Christ. And so let me summarize that idea. How do we experience breakthrough when we don't feel it? Well, what we do is we confess our sin of how we've taken our eyes off of Jesus. Turn to Jesus and remember the gospel, how he was delivered to death for me, and then believe it and keep trusting in that idea that I have already experienced breakthrough. And so that no matter what I experience in this life, even if I'm going through the most difficult times in my life, even if I'm struggling with pain in my body, even if I'm struggling with my mind, even if I'm going through all kinds of difficulty, I am already delivered in Jesus Christ. I have already experienced breakthrough. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Remember the gospel. Remember that you already have a breakthrough because of Jesus Christ, not because of yourself. And so that's where we come to our third point. Delivered. 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 We want to continue to tell ourselves. We want to continue to remind ourselves. And we want to continue to remind each other that we are already delivered. I am already delivered. Delivered from guilt. Delivered from shame, delivered from fear, delivered from guilt, from the guilt that you feel when things aren't going so great in parenting. Delivered from the shame of feeling hopeless when things aren't going so well with your search for a spouse. Delivered from the fear that you feel when things don't seem to be working out financially. Delivered from the guilt that you feel when you know you sinned again. Delivered from the shame that you feel when your kids act up in public. Delivered from the fear that you feel when you just don't know what the future holds. Just continue to remind yourself, I am delivered. Preach that gospel to yourself. Keep telling your own soul that this is true. It's not brainwashing if it's true. It's reminding yourself of what is a reality, what is fact. Just keep telling yourself, this is the truth. I am delivered. So if you are delivered, you don't have to feel stuck. You don't have to stay stuck feeling guilt or shame or fear. You don't have to feel sad and sorrow, although there are times to go through that process of mourning and sorrow. You can be free to feel the peace and joy and energy to trust what the Lord has said. And with that, you continue to live in light of his deliverance. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much that you have already done the work of delivering us. Lord, we know that Judas wasn't delivered because he continued to rely on himself and to find ways to deliver himself. But Lord, may we be different. May we turn to you and see that it's only through you that we could find deliverance from all of life's situations that we face, but ultimately from the sin and the punishment that we're supposed to face. Lord, allow us to remember that we are already delivered when we put our trust in you. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.